Hello, racing fans. Edison Hatter back with another episode of First Over with Edison Hatter. It's time to discuss the races at Woodbine Mohawk tomorrow, this coming Friday, October the 15th, 2021. And also, much like last week, we're glad to have a little bit of bonus Canadian racing coverage. We'll talk a little bit of Western Fair racing again with a special guest coming from Western Fair Raceway. This time we're joined by Tony Elliott, who works as the racing manager at Western Fair. So, Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
So, Tony, you know what? I've gotten to ask a couple of my guests recently in recent weeks the question. I've had a couple of younger faces in the industry on the show here. So, Tony, you are how old?
I'm 22.
So, 22 years old and got quite an experience in this industry so far. I know you've worked as the racing manager currently at Western Fair, as I said. You're a member of the U.S. Harness Writers Association Canada chapter. You had a little bit of track and field experience in the past, a little bit of ownership experience in the past. So tell us all about your story.
Yeah, so basically growing up, my dad and I would go to all the big races across Ontario, like every single state race. We didn't really miss too many of those. So it kind of caught the bug early on. And just like anybody else that catches the bug for racing, it doesn't really go away. So then I basically got back into track and field, basically starting grade 8 onwards, and kind of had the goal of getting Division 1 scholarship. I was able to accomplished that and got a Division One scholarship to Valparaiso University for a hammer throw, which is a pretty unique event. But so I ended up going down there and got hurt after my second year, so decided to come home because it's pretty tough to kind of keep up with the daily grind of Division One sports when you're kind of hurt and like nagging injuries and things like that. So decided to come back home and like once you kind of realize that you're not going to be a professional athlete, which people realize pretty quickly. You kind of have to look for something else, and I always loved racing, had the bug, so I kind of looked back towards that and figured out how I could have a career in it, and I looked towards racing management, and actually reached out to the previous racing manager here, Greg Gangle, to kind of kick things off, and like he was one of my mentors throughout this process, as well as Ian Fleming, who I ended up working with this last summer at Clinton Raceway. So from there, I was hired at Hammer Raceway, was helping out there, and then Clinton Raceway this past year, and Hammer, and a little bit at Grand River. So we kind of was doing a bunch of different things, and even though I'm young, I was trying to make sure I had kind of load up on the experience in a very short amount of time to kind of put myself in a position to be able to do a role like this. So it certainly has progressed really quick over the last 2 years, but couldn't be happier about it.
So, Tony, so you mentioned that you had gone with your father to Woodbine Mohawk in the past, and obviously you work at Western Fair now. So what other tracks have you been to, and also especially during your time down here in the States during college a little bit, did you get a chance to explore any of our tracks?
No, like with how big it was in track and field, we didn't really have too much free time. I wish I would have gone down to Hoosier. Like it's funny, I never actually went to Hoosier when I was there. But then I love watching their racing now. So, I mean, I wish I would have went there every weekend, but life gets busy sometimes, but I certainly want to go back and visit that track.
Yeah, Hoosier is definitely a good one. It's on my list as well. And actually, funny you mentioned that my guest on my next show will be Emily Gaskin down at Hoosier Park. So for sure, jealous to get to talk to her about getting to look at that beautiful place every day. But anyway, so Tony, so Western Fair, so you've been there now for how long have you been at Western Fair, I guess, for at least as a racing manager at this point?
So I actually worked here last winter on graphics in the broadcast room there. So got a little bit of experience just on the broadcast side, which has been helpful in the new role, and got to know everybody here. So it was a pretty seamless transition into this role. And so, I mean, like I've only been in this role for about, maybe, I don't even know if it's been 2 months, but it certainly hasn't, it's felt like I've been doing it a lot longer just because I've worked here in the past and everyone's so fantastic to work with here.
And so, Tony, for our listeners that may not know, you know, specifics, can you explain a little bit more about what specifically you do, or maybe run us through a quick what a day might look like for you as the racing manager?
So essentially, the way you describe it is, so anything that you see going out on the broadcast and anything you kind of see as far as racing on track, like what we do as far as promotions, I do a little bit of marketing. I work with our marketing team. I look after the program, getting that all set. On race nights, my race night typically consists of kind of like overlooking the broadcast, working with our main guy on the broadcast just to make sure that we're kind of putting out the right information, the right as far as the overall product is concerned, and then also I set post times and kind of decide where we are with other other tracks across North America. So big thing is kind of my big thing is wagering, like our wagering menu and things like that, trying to come up with different ways how we can grow our handle and just expand our brand. So, I mean, it's kind of a little bit of everything, but it's really, really enjoyable just being able to kind of dive into a few different things. But wagering is probably like the number one thing that I look after.
And so, Tony, I know I said I was going to give you a chance a little later on the show, but you know what? We'll just cover it now real quick. So Western Fair, give the listeners who got to hear it from Sugar as well last week, your track announcer, but give us a little bit of the racing schedule up there. And also, I know you guys have a big night next Friday. For any of our listeners maybe in the area may want to come out and attend the races.
Yeah, so we race Monday, Tuesday, and Friday right now at 5:50 on Monday and Tuesday and 4:50 on Fridays. And then come December, we pick up a few Sundays in there. I think we have 3 or 4 Sundays on the schedule, and then that's when it kind of starts ramping up. We get fairly busy end of December, early January, and we pick up 4 days a week come January, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's we're just kind of getting our feet wet right now before we kind of ramp up the schedule. And like you mentioned, we have a big event next Friday, which is Harness the Hope Night, which is always a fantastic fundraiser for breast cancer. So normally the dining room's packed, and we certainly have a fantastic crowd out for that, and tons of gear is available for purchase, and there's just everything's geared towards supporting that organization. And for the first time this year, we're doing an all-women's race where the drivers, all women drivers are going to donate their earnings to the cause, and so that's going to be in race number one. So that's going to be great to have. We have the Ontario Women's Driving Championship last year, so we're looking at, we'll probably have most of those drivers competing in that, and it was fantastic racing, so we're certainly excited to post that and kind of add to the already fantastic event that is Harness the Hope.
Sounds like it will be a fantastic evening for you guys next Friday, and I know Sugar and I got to talk about it last week a little bit. I don't know why, but I've always been fascinated by the Monty races, the racing under saddle events, and I believe you guys are going to have one on the program next Friday, and I believe Sugar said it was going to be a paramutual race as well, correct?
Yeah, so I don't think we're actually going to have that next Friday now. There's just it's a little bit of a lack of a horse supply for that right now, but we certainly will have it at some point over our racing calendar, but just the next Friday is not going to work out, I don't believe.
Oh, come on, Tony. I was looking so forward to that race, but at least hopefully.
We've had a few racing under saddle qualifiers, so we certainly enjoy those, but it's certainly, you had to understand it. Like, you get so used to regular harness or thoroughbred, and then you suddenly get a mix of the two, and then you're just kind of like, it's something to see, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I watch some of that stuff in France in the morning sometimes, catch the replays of those races, and that's not easy to do, to try to keep a trotter flat while you're on the back, and that's a different type of racing. Very, very cool to see. I got a chance to watch it in person at Gateway Farm this past summer during a racing under saddle qualifier, and it's definitely a cool event to see. So, Tony,
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Did you have something else to say on that? I was going to jump on something else.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Tony, you know what? We're going to continue to throw curveballs at you here. Let's switch that order. Let's start with talking about Western Fair, since we're on the topic here. And before we actually handicap the card, for you, my guest, as always, I've got the daily handicapping question for our listeners to consider. And Tony, the question for you is going to be related to this card specifically at Western Fair on Friday, but it applies at other tracks as well. So there's Autumn Series races on this Friday evening card at Western Fair for 2- and 3-year-old Colt Pacers. It's the first leg, but the key there is the 2- and 3-year-old. So Tony, when you're looking at specifically here, 2-year-olds racing against 3-year-olds, do you handicap differently? Do you consider, is it better or worse? Do you prefer the 3-year-olds with the experience, the 2-year-olds, lack of experience? And just in general, I guess, younger horses racing against older horses in this harness racing sport, how do you handicap that?
I think with this series, it's a little bit easier because you are looking at the numbers of 10,000 with no allowances. So you're kind of seeing the same level of inexperience. Like, you're seeing some 2-year-olds that are kind of finding their way a few starts in, or you're seeing some 3-year-olds that didn't make it as a 2-year-old. So they're not, there's not too many starts between the 2- and 3-year-olds. There certainly is a difference, so that's something to consider. And you typically see the 3-year-olds kind of dominate this series from most years, but every once in a while, the thing is, like, you can get a nice 2-year-old that just is kind of developing a little bit slower, and then you bring them out at the end of the year, and they go for pretty good money, 8,500 a leg, and then 20,000 plus finals. But I think in other
instances where younger horses are racing against older horses, I think it is a bit of a disadvantage, because just with the experience, like you mentioned, like horses, once they get the experience under their belt, they're kind of a little bit more able to kind of handle what's thrown at them, I believe. So, I mean, like, once you get kind of 4 against 5-year-olds, things like that, but especially younger, especially with these kind of series that happen, and Mohawk has one soon, the Harvest series. So it's really an interesting mix, but I don't think you'd take too much account of it for this series, but at Mohawk, you might be looking at some different matchups with the 2 versus 3-year-olds, but I tend to side with the 3-year-olds when it comes to this matchup.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Tony. For sure, I think the experience can be good. You're right, though. In fact, just as an example, looking at this 5th race page from Western Fair for Friday night, you do have quite a few 3-year-olds in there, and yet only one horse in this whole field has actually started as a 2-year-old last year. So for sure, in this case, they might have more of a level playing field. But in general, yeah, I think generally you can kind of side maybe with the older horses, more experience. I know at Freehold, I forget what the exact circumstances was, but gosh, we had a unique condition the other week, and then long story short, I think it ended up being a 2-year-old against like 10 and 11-year-olds. I think it was like non-winners of one. I think like also eligibles like non-winners of one, and then it was like non-winners of 12-15 in their last 5, something to that effect. And actually, I believe the 2-year-old won that race, so for sure you can't discount the younger horses, but for sure that experience sometimes against the younger can help out the older horses. But with that said, Tony, let's jump into handicapping this Western Fair card a little bit. And as aforementioned, race 5, the first race we'll talk about, the Autumn Series, 2 and 3-year-old Colt Pacers, leg 1. We have 3 races for this first leg of the Autumn Series, split divisions here. And we'll talk all 3 here on the card. Starting with the 5th race, and here we have a favorite coming from post 8, Hippie John, who post gods have not been kind to him lately. A post 9, a post 10 at Woodbine Mohawk in the 2 most recent, and now a post 8 at Western Fair. But he's been racing pretty well, been in pretty good form, has 5 wins so far from those 10 starts this year. So for me, I'll have to go with the 8, Hippie John, as my top selection here in race 5.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Hippie John here. I think it should be the standout here. So in the 27-2 last quarter at Woodbine Mohawk Park, does come in, I believe that's, I don't remember where that track is exactly, but it was a pickup by the Greg McNair barn there. So, it's out of Nova Scotia, actually. The ownership was indicating that. But I think it should be good. But I think we kind of look at this quite a bit when handicapping Western Fair, is because, like, horses dropping down from Mohawk to Western Fair, like, there's like this horse is showing 54-4 speed. Like, it looks like it should lay over the field, but and it has raced over the tight half mile track. But if you look at its past starts over in Nova Scotia there, it is showing some competitive speed, but it doesn't look as much of a standout when it moves the half mile track. Then again, you're kind of looking at different tracks here. Like Western Fair is a pretty fast half mile track, but it's hard to know what the transition is going to be. But I think it should be the best in here, and it should be, even though it has full position number 8, I think there's going to be some speed inside that can follow out.
Yeah, definitely some other directions to go in here. Largeon Alexander is 5-2 on the board. Or the morning line, rather, has 2 wins from 8 starts this year, has hit the board in 6 starts. The 2, La Playa Deo, that's one of the 2-year-olds in this field. Doesn't have a win yet, but has 5 minor placings. So a couple different directions to go here. Race 5, again, that's the first of these 3 Autumn Series races on the Friday evening card. As we flip to the second one, Tony, that's right next door, race 6. Again, the Autumn Series, 2 and 3-year-old Colt Pacers, leg 1. 2nd of 3 divisions, and for me here, we'll try the 1 Unlaced. This is one of the 2-year-olds, but I thought coming off of a nice effort at Flamborough last time out, started the first 3 efforts, not the best, trying some stakes company in the Ontario Sire Stakes out of Woodbine Mohawk, but since then, recently, they were at Hanover as well as Flamborough, has kind of found some of his friends and has started to get his feet under him here, and I think it's starting to round in some nice form, and the rail draw definitely helps his chances here, so I will go with the 1 Unlaced here in race 6.
Yeah, I can Unlaced should definitely be there. I think the 4 Doxfillion Chiefs, pretty inexperienced here, only 2 paramutual starts, but Grand River Pace 57-4 has been off a little bit of time here, so it's gonna be tough to see how it comes back. Maybe looking at a price here. Having My Step also looks interesting, and here comes it off a win. 2 starts back and 58 over a quarter, but that is the 5/8 track, so you're looking at maybe a second or 2 slower going on the half here, but should be competitive. Try to start at Woodbine Mohawk Park makes you think that they did have high hopes for this horse trying it at Woodbine Mohawk Park, but then dropping it back down here. So against another two against 3-year-olds here, but I think the 2-year-olds might be pulling this one out.
Yeah, so Unlaced and Doc's Philly Cheese, those are our 2-year-olds. And then, yeah, Pep in My Step, that's your morning line favorite, 2-1. That is one of the 3-year-olds. You know, I almost went Doc's Philly Cheese. I was really feeling hungry. It was just before lunch when I handicapped this card, so I almost did go the route of the 4. But, yeah, so I'll go with Unlaced on top here in race 6. So race 9, that's the third and final division. Again, the Autumn Series, 2 and 3-year-old Colt Pacers, leg 1, field of 7 here. And here I will take the 2, Spicy P on top, who... Another one, Post Gods have not been too friendly to. Post 7, Post 8, and Post 9 in the 3 most recent, but a very nice Post 2 here. This is one of the 3-year-olds, and gosh, look at that ever back at Clinton on August the 15th. That was a field of 8. He was on top by 20 lengths at the half mile through 57 2 speed. Closed the back half in a minute flat, but still won by 14.5 lengths as your 6-5 favorite. And since then, has not been disgraced in these most recent efforts, including finishing second, just beaten by a head at Woodbine Mohawk last time out from that outside post position. So the 2 Spicy P, I think, in my opinion, the one to beat here, and that is a 3-year-old.
Yeah, I think this one should be good to go in there as well. It certainly has found its form late. It struggled early on this year, but... Once it kind of found its form after that start at Clinton, I do remember that. It was pretty impressive. That's basically the definition of bottoming out of field, and he certainly did that. And since then, been racing well. He's been trying the Woodbine Mohawk Park and has had some bad positions. So even though he was fifth, his second last start there at Grand River with being from position number 8, like they say, basically position number 8 at Grand River is a write-off. So it's pretty tough from there. I'm going to go to the 7 here, Donahue Steelster. Was solid its last effort. Faded a little bit late, but I'm going to go previously for it being vet scratch sick there. Was showing some great efforts there. Grand River 56-2, 57-2 over Grand River as well. Is a 2-year-old shadow play. I'm a big fan of the shadow plays, and so I think it should be good to go in there. It's certainly going to have to chase some speed. Spicy P is going to be well on its way to the lead, and I think it's going to be tough to catch him, but this horse looks like it's going to have to kind of learn how to work off the pace here. I think it's unless Travis Henry can somehow get the jump on Spicy P off the gate, which is very tough to do from position number 7 here at Western Fair.
So you go with Donahue Steelster. That is one of the 2-year-olds in the field. Toonie Teen, the 3-year-old, 5-2 on the morning line. That's one coming off of another big win at Leamington, coming off of a 9.25 length victory there in 56-4. That was his third win of the season. And the 3 Drowns the Whiskey, another one of them taking some money here at 3-1 on the morning line, has one win so far this year, has had some tough post positions as well, as long as some interference there at the start. So a couple of tough trips for him, but a couple of wins and a second in there as well in the most recent form lines. So next, Tony, we'll cover the 2 preferred events on the card. It's a 12-race program on Friday night at Western Fair. Races 10 and 12, a preferred pace and a preferred trot. We'll start with race 10. That's the preferred handicap trot. Field of 9 in here. And first things first, we got to give a shout-out to your track announcer, Sugar Shannon Doyle, for coming up with Lefkada last week. That was his selection he gave out, and she was 5-1, and she ended up coming late to win by a length and a half. But for me, I'll try the 6 Charmbro Prince, who comes off of a win as well in the preferred last week. Got it done by a length from post 8, 58-2 the final time there. A third place effort before that at Grand River in the preferred, so it's been a pretty good preferred horse here of late. Has 5 wins this year, and we'll see if he can pick up win number 6 of 2021 here tonight.
Yeah, I think this race is pretty tough to handicap because you look at the 6 and the 7 here, they look like they should be the ones to beat, but I think they're both kind of the same type of off-the-pace closers type, which is tough to do in a half-mile track, especially when there's 2 of them they're going to be looking for the same trip. So I think it's going to be tough. They're going to have to switch up their tactics a little bit, but I think J4 High Cross might be able to steal this one, I think. Like, it has been racing exceptionally well lately. 3 wins, 3 seconds in the block 6 starts there, so I think it's pretty tough to go against here. Draws inside these 2 closers, and I think if it can get on the lead and get a nice middle half there, it should be good to go.
Yeah, that's definitely one to look at. It was set off at 18-1 last week in the Charmbro Prince race and finished second, beaten only by a length in the end. But right, with that inside draw over those two main rivals with Charmbro Prince and Lefkada the outside, there should be some interesting tactics here to see if he's not sent off of the gate. So those are the major three players here in that preferred trot. So we flip back to your nightcap, race 12, the preferred fillies and mares pace. And I'll take the three Manhattan Knight here, who, gosh, look at that form line, was eighth, seven lengths down at the top of the stretch, and finished second, beaten only by a head as your 4-5 favorite. That was from post five. This is post three. Hopefully she will be a little bit closer this time as they turn for home. But, gosh, an impressive kick through the stretch last week for sure.
Yeah, and this is a unique race here because it is a mile at 16, so we do see a little bit more action from the outside here because, I mean, they have a little bit more of the stretch to work with when they're leaving out of there. So taking a chance on the outside horse is certainly, I wouldn't recommend it any other time, but I think this is the time I would. So I'm going to go with Cashmere Swan Girl here. It was the second trailer in this race. Has been racing very well. The only thing that concerns me is when it has won, it has been on the lead from gate to wire. It is a heavy speed horse, but I think its last start is kind of an indicator that it can kind of work off the pace from position number eight there at Grand River. Was 4.5 lengths back. Like, I think it was just too far to close. And I think if it's falling out some speed early, might be able to work out in the top five off the gate. So we'll see how that works out. But I think you're going to see above 2-1 when it comes to post time, just because it is from that trailing spot and the type of tactics we've seen from her in past starts. It's certainly going to be tough to get her the winner's circle by switching up.
Yeah, she's been in good form lately. And I know we discussed how difficult post eight can be there on that half mile of Grand River. And gosh, it looks like she was parked pretty much the whole way from post eight and still finished off the mile nicely, second beaten by the 4.5. So for sure, those would appear to be the two big players here. And right, this is a mile and a 16th for this preferred pace. So again, that is 12 races, Western Fair this coming Friday night. First post time, 4:50 p.m. That's correct, Tony, right? 4:50 p.m. first post time, and Sugar said it last week, so I'll let you say it this week because I don't think I have it written down. But the website online, fans can get a free program as well for Western Fair every racing night, correct?
Yeah, so we have free program, free selections, and free live stream. You can watch that in HD on YouTube, or we have like the hard-coded onto the website. So you can watch in HD, free everything, free selections from Sugar as well, which Sugar hits at a pretty significant rate. I try to keep up to him as much as I can, but I haven't been successful so far.
And what is that website for our fans to go to?
It's www.westernfairdistrict/raceway.
All righty. Fantastic. And we'll wish our players the best of luck Friday night at Western Fair. And with that, we'll shift over to Woodbine Mohawks program. This one I do have the website for, www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs, and you can get your free program to follow along with Tony and I. Tonight we have 12 races on the Woodbine Mohawk card. We will discuss, as always, the early pick five, races 1-5, 20-cent base wager, a $100,000 guaranteed pool. And then we'll also discuss later on the card one featured race. We'll discuss race 11, top-level conditioned event for the Philly Mare Pacers. But first things first, Tony, let's jump into this early pick five and hopefully give out some winning tickets. And we'll start with race one, the Fillies and Mares, 4-year-olds and younger, non-winners of two races or 30,000 lifetime on the pace for 17,000. And you are using just two in here to kick off this pick five.
Yeah, I think it's a tough race. I mean, you might kind of tend to catch a flyer sometimes in these non-winners or in the lighter conditions, like non-winners of two races or 30,000 life here. Like, I think it's tough. But I think just Daisy's gonna be tough to beat here, coming off of two wins, and it seems like it's getting better. Even though it didn't win as dominantly its last start, it certainly showed its heart in there, and then it has progressed up the class ladder from the numbers of 21,000 life up to the 30,000 life here. So I think it should be good to go. But I threw in the two as well, racing for the mark. I think it has been racing well. Came in from Rito Carlton and has continued a successful run there. And I think it keeps getting better and better each start. Like, first Came to Woodbine Memorial Park, showing some 54 miles, some 27.3 lost quarter there. It's lost start. Looked like it kind of had a little bit of traffic trouble before getting out late, and then finally closed up for third. Only was out of it by a length of three quarters.
So I am with you with the two and the seven, but the third one that I'm going to throw in, that's the six, Millie's Million, who 8-1 on the morning line. And admittedly, she's been facing easier at Flamborough and some of the other smaller tracks. But she's been really dominant this year. I mean, she hasn't finished off the board in 10 starts. She has 7 wins, 2 seconds in the third. She just won at 1-20 at Flamborough and did it in Gate Dwyer fashion, really. She's just gone down the highway most races. So, again, this is clearly a class test for her. But at a price, I think she's one to include in there. We'll see how well she faces up against this level of competition. So it's 2, 6, and 7 for me to kick off this first leg of the early pick 5. As we flip to race 2, that's on the trot for 20,000, non-winners of 3 races, or 40,000 lifetime. A little bit different of allowances there for the fillies and mares. And Tony, I will start us off here, so I'm going to go deep. I'm using the 2, the 4, the 7, the 8, and the 9. Now, I know you're using just the 2, the 4, and the 8, so I'll let you discuss those three, and I'll add anything I have afterwards. But for the 7 and the 9... I include the 7 Rowland, been racing in pretty good form here, went 54-1 last time out here with my Mohawk, again, similar. Hasn't had to deal with too many outside post positions here, post 7, 3 back, but finished 2nd, beaten by 2.5 at this level. Has been sent off at a pretty generous price each of the last couple, despite the fact that she's been competitive recently. She is still winless this year, though, so she is 0-9, that might be some cause for concern, but she'll have to get it done hopefully here sometime soon. And for the 9, Kalea, used this one from post 8. Was racing against Ontario Sire Stakes Company. Been racing against tougher here than this. This is a bit of a drop down in class. 55-1, 27-4 kicker for him last time out. But gosh, post 9 is going to be a tough task here. Doug McNair, though, is back aboard, and hopefully we'll be able to work out an okay trip for him. 1 win so far this year from 13 starts. He'll be looking for win number 2 of the year. So it's 2, 4, 7, 8, 9 for me here. Race 2. Tony, for you, the 2, the 4, and the 8.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the 2 here for sure. Like, we see James McDonald team up with Richard Merle, which is kind of a unique combination. We don't see that too much. Like, Richard Merle tends to have his select drivers he uses. Brad Grant normally gets Doug to drive, and then obviously Louis-Philippe Watt, Sylvain Filion drive for Richard Merle quite a bit. But James maintains the drive here, but we do see a barn change to Richard Merle for this start. It's time to go home. Back-to-back wins, it looks like it's progressing better than obviously picking up O'Brien Award-winning trainer Richard Morrow is certainly going to not hurt his case in there. And then the 4 here, Worry Whisper, it's inconsistency is the name of the game for this one. I believe it raced in the Mohawk Million last year, and it's been racing the good times, but it's showing 53 speed, but it's all about the timing with this one. Sometimes you catch it at the right time. It only has 1 win this year, but the and 1 win last year as well, but shows some good amount of money. 1, it's hit the board a decent amount of times, but it's very hard pressed to find the winner circle sometimes. So I think it's one that you have to include, but I wouldn't be real confident in selecting this one as a win bet or anything like that. But I think you got to include in the ticket. And then I also went to the 8 here, Princess Party Pants. Has shown some ability, hasn't won in very recent, but does show a last line that you can see on the program here. 53-4 win over Woodbine Mohawk Park. Did race well at last start, 27-4 kick home there in 54. Was 2nd by 3.5 lengths. Like, I think it would have been a little bit closer at Glory AM. I remember, I think James was driving that. I think it just kind of got away on the field, and tends to happen if you kind of get stuck too far back. But did close well, and I think it should be right in the mix, but it's another one here that is kind of inconsistent, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, Tony, I saw pretty much the same things you did with those three. It's time to go home coming off of that nice win here last time out, and actually 2 back as well, so looking for win number 3 in a row. Obviously does face a little tougher tonight. 4 Where We Whisper, yeah, very inconsistent, some breaks in the lines there, so if he can stay flat, definitely could be in with a chance. Just 1 for 19 this year. It seems like he's raced well enough that he should have more than just the 1 win. And the 8 Princess Party Pants, this is one that also has some second-itis. She's finished 2nd 6 times, also only 1 win this year from 15 starts, but should be right in the mix here tonight with this field. So it's, again, 2, 4, 7, 8, 9 for me, race 2. For you, the 2, the 4, and the 8. As we flip on to race 3, On the pace for 18,000, this is Phillies and Mares, non-winners of 12,000 in their last five starts, or non-winners of 27,000 in their last 10 starts. And who do you use in here, Tony?
I use the 1, 2, and the 8. Like, I think Laura's Love was unbelievable last year, making just under 400,000, 9 for 20. It has shown a little bit of that ability this year. It has won three starts back in 51 and 2. Had the progress of the class ladder, obviously, after that win, but it certainly looked like it should be good to go in here. Position number one is not the easiest with the new slanted gate, but I think as it being a closer, like, I think it should be up in the mix and should be able to work out a trip. And it was not used hard its last start and came a big last quarter, 26 seconds, which is it's pretty well known for Laura's Love with the big late kick. So I think if it gets up in the action a little bit earlier, even at second last start, and even when it won, it closed out the cloud. So, like, I think position number one, we're going to see her be a lot closer in here. And then all, I went to the two as well, Lions Till a Hammer. It closed in 25-1, its last start there, and it does drop down class slightly, or fits in with the last 10 starts, I believe. So 25-1 last quarter, its last start. Like, I think you got to pick up Doug McNair in the bike, so I think you got to have that one on your ticket, just because if it's anywhere close, it has an absolutely wicked late kick there. So 25-1, I think anytime you see that, should jump right off the page for you. 72 morning line, like, I'm not sure. This seems like a fairly open race, so I don't know if you're going to get that quite that value come post time. I would doubt it off that last quarter against last race there. But I also had the 8 on here, Parisian Blue Chip. This horse was racing the preferred ranked. It did race in its second last start, but it was racing in it consistently earlier this year and was winning. I think it won two preferreds in a row and had five wins in a row. Sorry, not this year, maybe last year I'm thinking of, but it did win its last start, but did make a break and was placed at 10th. Moves up a little bit here, but I think it should be good to go with its back class. And obviously, 8 wins last year, 3 this year. Like, the horse knows how to win, chose that 15-3 speed badge for this year. So I think it should be good to go if it can work out a trip and obviously gets James McDonald on the bike, which is a big check mark in the driver's box.
Well, Tony, you make my job pretty easy there. For me, it's the 2 and the 8, and I think it kind of highlighted the two directions I'm going here. The 8, Parisian Blue Chip, clearly the class of the field. Got to figure, much like last time, you know, dropping to this level, basically was at this level last time. Again, made the break before three quarters, ends up being placed last, even though she crosses the wire first at 2-5. Got to figure that, once again, James McDonald probably going to be aggressive here, just knowing that he probably has the class of this field for sure. Off of the gate. So if she can go all the way once again and hopefully not make a break and be disqualified this time, she probably is the winner. If not, the 2 Lions Told Hanover from post 2 probably is close enough if good enough late. And you are right. Her best late is wickedly good. 25-second last quarter, last time out. And plenty of other 26-second last quarters as well in there to back that up. So for sure, if she's close enough late, she can definitely get there. So we'll go 2 and 8 for me here in race 3. So race 4, back on the trot for 14,000. This is non-winners of 5,000 in their last 5 starts, or non-winners of 10,000 in their last 10 starts. And for you, Tony, here, it's the 2, the 8, and the 10.
Yeah, I think this is certainly the hardest race of the sequence. Like, I think it's going to be, you got some horses dropping class or moving up. Like, I'm always a big fan of horses coming in off a win, so that's why I went to the 2 and here, Ace By, like, as a value play there, 6-1 morning line. It did win its last start. It's going to be facing tougher, obviously, with moving up in class, but I think coming in off a win, its confidence should be high, should be handled aggressively. Looks like it likes the front end. Looks like it went some pretty big second and third quarters there. It was up by 5.5 lengths and did finish strongly enough, a 28-4. Coming home, but I also went to the 8 here, never mind. And Ben Barrage's barn is always red hot. So, I mean, I think you got to go with this one here. 4-1 morning line, went last start in 54-4. I think it should be good to go. I think it's still Van's going to handle this one aggressively. I think it's going to go to the top, and then it's going to play catch me if you can, if you will. And then also, I put the 10 on here, White Tiger. I showed that 54 win. Two starts back, won by 13 lengths, was pretty dominant, to say the least. Faces the same group again here, but didn't fare so well last time. was able to get the lead coming to three quarters, but it faded late 30-2. We're going to look for a better performance here, and I think it should be good to go. Gets James McDonald on the bike, so I think you could have went a lot deeper in here. 2, 8, and 10. Like, I think we got the possible ones that I think could possibly win it covered, but I think you could easily have gone deeper.
Yeah, I think you could go a couple different directions here, and we do go a little different direction here, Tony. I guess we'll both be happy if the 2, Ace By at 6-1 on the morning line, gets the job done. I include him as well, but my other two horses are two different ones. I use the 4, Exemplar, and the 5, Victor Invictus. For the 5, Victor Invictus, this is a class dropper. He hasn't been seen at this low of a level in quite some time. 2 wins this year, but again, he's been racing against tougher, so maybe finally getting back down to this type of level is what he needs. He hasn't raced particularly poorly, per se, against the tougher company that he's seen, but he also, I guess, hasn't raced particularly well. So on the class drop here, we'll see if maybe that's the wake-up call that he needs. And the 4, Exemplar, tough time last time out doing the debut for the new barn. Ended up making a break at the start, but did take money in there against possibly slightly tougher company. It took 6-1 play that day, 10-1 on the morning line here off of that break. He has a couple of good lines there in the past. Has hit the board at 6-15 this year, so at a price, I will throw him in there. So I go 2, 4, 5. You go a little different direction here, going 2, 8, and 10. So the 5th race, the payoff leg of this early pick 5, on the pace for 20,000. It's non-winners of 11,000 in their last 5 starts, or non-winners of 22,500 in their last 10 starts. And for me, I'm going to single here to close out the sequence, going with the 5, Dean B. Hanover, coming off of a good second place effort against slightly tougher non-winners of 13,000 last time out. Kicked home in a 25-3 last quarter, 149-2 the final time for the mile. 7-5 favorite that day. Did disappoint as the favorite, but nonetheless raced a really good mile. That'll be my single. But Tony, you use in here also the 1, Fabrizio N, who always one of my favorite angles. Those horses that come over from New Zealand and Australia can be pretty good.
Yeah, and I think we're just starting to see the capability of this horse, the 5-year-old Sweet Lou gelding. Like the Dean B. Hanover is showing a big last quarter, but the 123-3 quarters is going to bring out a big late kick from a group like this. But I think it did finish well, 26-1. I think it's, like you said, facing slightly tougher for this group, but a position number 1, get Doug Nair on the bike. And I think it's starting to progress now. Like a qualifying 54, first start wins in 51-4, 27-3 at the end of it, and then has to drop 2 seconds down to 49-3. And it's going to take a few starts for it to, I think it's for it to kind of get comfortable with that level of speed, because over there it's hard to really judge. Like, they have the endurance, but I think the speed will come after a few starts over here.
Yeah, it seems like, as always, my guests managed to give me some horse I didn't fully consider. That might be the one. I might have to include that one on my ticket as well, for sure. He's shown nice progression here since coming to the U.S., but nonetheless, for now, my ticket reads 2-6-7, with 2-4-7-8-9, with 2-8, with 2-4-5, with 5 for an $18 ticket. And for you, Tony, it's 2-7, with 2-4-8, with 1-2-8, with 2-8-10, with 1-5, and that's a $21.60 investment. So, Tony, finally, before we wrap it up, last things last, we'll talk about the featured race on this Wood by Mohawk card. It is race 11 on the pace for 26,000. The fillies and mares top level conditioned event, non-winners of 26,500 in their last 5 starts. And for me here, I've got to go to the 1, Lita Rose. Thought that she was going to get it done last time out at 4-5 last week against this level, dropping out of all those stakes events she's been in. She did disappoint, ended up second, beaten by 2 lengths, but did have to do it first over against a very good treacherous rain. So for me, I'll go back to Lita Rose this week and see if she can finally get that first win in a while.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lead of Rose with you as well here. Like, I think it's going to be a pretty good group. We see a 3-year-old filly, Lady Arthur, matching up against this group, which is, that's the problem. You kind of get a nice stake horse, and then you have to find a place to race them before they're likely taking this to the Breeders' Crown. And it's going to be a tough race for it, but it has certainly the capability to go with this group. Marlo Hammer, I remember this horse. It dropped down in the preferred 2 at Georgian Downs and went 15-1 over George. And it was just, everyone kind of like was, I think it was like a 4-horse field too. So it was pretty shocking. So they were looking to tighten this horse up and put a mark on it. So 51 certainly got the job done in there. It has showed some pretty nice speed and is showing a 4th place finish in the Milton there, pacing at 50-1. Gets Bob McClure in the bike here, I think it should be good to go as well. But I think Lita Rose is the class of the field and should be good to go.
Yeah, Lita Rose, my top selection, but I am with you. The 5, Marlo Hanover. In fact, I got it written right here on my sheet. My exact, I would go 1-5. Yeah, Marlo Hanover for sure. It's put in some good miles here lately. Picks up Bob McClure. And yeah, definitely that was a good fourth place effort there in Milton. But maybe pause for a little bit of concern was a vet scratch down there at Dayton back on October the 2nd. And has not raced since September 25th, so a couple weeks off from Marlo Hanover. But nonetheless, we're both here on board with the 1, Lee DeRose. So again, that wraps up the Friday evening action, Wood by Mohawk and Western Fair. Western Fair will get underway first at 4:50 p.m., 12 races there. And again, a 12-race program at Wood by Mohawk, they will get underway at 7 p.m. And that's just about all the time that we have here. But again, so glad to be joined today by Tony Elliott from Western Fair, the racing manager up there. So Tony, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on. It was fun.
And Tony, for anyone that wants to continue the conversation with you or I on social media, they can find you on Twitter at ElliottRacing99, ElliottRacing99. And for me, it's at Edison_1999_, at EDISON_1999_. And again, free program for Woodbine Mohawk at www.woodbine.com/mohawk/free-programs. And Tony, one more time for our fans to visit the Western Fair to get the live feed as well as the free programs and Sugar's free selections. That website is
www.westernfairdistrict.com/raceway.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That should give you just about everything you need for some Friday evening Canadian harness racing action. And we will wish you the best of luck in all your wagering endeavors Friday evening at both Wood by Mohawk and Western Fair and anywhere else that you may be wagering on this lovely weekend. And we'll talk to you next time here on First Over with Edison Hatter.